Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so very much for the privilege of being in this place this morning and already to hear these words and to worship you. Lord, you are the God that saves. You are the God of victory. You are the God that frees us, and we praise you for that. I pray for every person that has come this way this morning. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see the kind of God that you are and that you want us to be freed. You want us to not be bound down. You want us to escape the things that are holding us down. And so, Lord, I pray that as we go into the Word, that you might just continue to bring that alive to us, that we would be able to leave this place without those things that we brought in here. I pray, Lord, that whatever it is that is holding us back, whatever it is that individually we are having issues and problems with, Lord, I pray that you would allow us to see that you are the God of victory, that you are the God that wants us to be freed from that. So, Father, I pray now for us as a group, and Lord, I pray that you would just bless us and that you would just give us those things to help us to see what we are, what we are to be, and what we need to be. And Lord, we will give you all glory and all honor for all that you do with us, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Won't you be seated? And it's nice to come in and smell food. One of the things that you start learning about church, if you sit around with a think tank long enough, somebody comes across the idea of, why don't we just make cinnamon rolls every Sunday, and then when everybody comes in here, they'll be all gooey and just love being in the place. Well, so what? Had a great meal last night, and there's still the wafting of that. And we're going to have lunch, Middle Eastern lunch, in just a few minutes, and we've got the fresh wafting of that. And if that's not enough for you, you can join the choir tonight for practice and have some more dinner. So save you on groceries, you know, right here for that three meals or so. It is a joy to get to this point in our place of where we're going, our vision as a church. And I really thank God that he has placed us on a path that we have glimpsed at what he wants us to be, that we have glimpsed at what he wants this church to be. And there is no more appropriate series that I could think of that would lead us into our first breakthrough in our stages of the vision that we've got stretched out before us. On August the 29th, we will have a bit of a celebration because that marks our first 120 days of preparation, and we enter into another 120 days of concentrated preparation. Now, if you got irritated during the first 120 days of preparation because everybody was doing something around you, you're really going to get irritated in the last 4 months because we are going to be doing a lot of things around the church. And what I wanted to look at this morning is something that is near and dear to my heart. Anybody that knows our firstborn son's name knows that this is dear to my heart. I named both of our children. I didn't come into the marriage telling my wife, you know what, I want to name both of our children. That's not how it works. She probably wouldn't have married me. She would have said, get out of here. You're too demanding. But when our son came along, we knew that his name was going to be Joshua. I won't even tell you about our daughter because our daughter didn't come out of the Bible. It came off of a TV show. So not all pastors and pastors' families are that religious. I heard a comedian say one time, have you ever met somebody that just got too saved and everything was just so spiritualized? Well, another story. The series for August that we're going to be looking at is the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua. Joshua's always been a hero to me personally. I think Lisa has always appreciated Joshua and Caleb. Everything we've ever done has had some kind of connection to Joshua and Caleb. And as we look at the book of Joshua, and we do sort of a little bit of an intro, and I don't want to get caught up too much, but the whole book of Joshua is a book of new beginnings. It is, as we know, in the setting of the history, it is that calling of a new time. It's the calling of a new season. And so the new beginnings for the Israelites, but it also is, if we study the book of Joshua as 21st century followers of Christ, it is a book that shares new beginnings with all of God's people. So even if it weren't our church that was looking at new beginnings and new ideas, it would always be for us as individuals, as God's people, as Christ followers, to always make sure that we're fresh and that we are approaching life in a different way. If we ever get to that place where we get so set in our ways that we do things the way we did 30 years ago, we all know there's something wrong about that. Really, if you go to your doctor and you tell him, I'm doing the same thing I was doing 30 years ago, he's going to tell you, well, you do realize that it's not 1980 anymore, right? So as we look at this, we're going to see some things in Joshua that we can really bring into our context and see that God has promised us all absolutely the perfect inheritance. And we look at Joshua and we're talking about this word inheritance, and we're going to get to that in a second. But as we sit here this morning, those of us that know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we know that we have no fear of death. Now in reality, we do, because very few people are just not fearful of death. I think if we ever as Christians could get it through our minds that death is not the worst thing that can happen to us, it would free us just to get that under our belts. God has given us in the work of Jesus Christ an absolute guarantee that we won't taste death. If we get to that point to where most people here give us a funeral, all it means to us is we're somewhere else. And so we look at that and we've been given the perfect inheritance that is beyond human imagination. We cannot really even bring a message that is effective enough to describe eternity, effective enough to describe heaven. But we've been given that. And as we look at comparing Joshua to our context, before any inheritance can be received, anything that's called an inheritance, certain preparations have to be made. This was true with the Israelites, and it's true with us. So as we dig into this first part of Joshua, I just want to just give this precursor or this prerequisite of diving in. Because Joshua becomes a biblical type for us. Or typology. It is one of those things that through a person or an event or a place, a biblical type points toward a New Testament fulfillment. So we don't just look at the story of Joshua and his conquest and the Israelites' conquest and see just a good history story. You know, it is good that we share those with our children as they're growing up. We share the Old Testament stories, but they need to know eventually that these stories that we have shared with them from the Old Testament that seems like really good just stories to tell, they are a typology that comes across in a truth for us in our relevant place of being. In other words, it's a foreshadowing. It's that place that we come to a time in history that we are able to connect it to what has happened in the Bible. It's a New Testament fulfillment. An Old Testament truth that provides a lesson without us messing with the truth, without us twisting up the truth. It helps us to understand the relevancy of Christ, the relevancy of the Word of God in our lives and what God intended for us to know and to live with. Now I want to read you, first of all, this portion of Scripture that is not on the screen, and then I want to read 11 verses in 1 Joshua. In Romans chapter 15, if you want to mark it and read it a little bit later, Romans chapter 15, verses 4 through 6, it gives us the instruction or the permission to do what we're doing this morning. For whatever was written in the past was written for our instruction, so that we may have hope through endurance and through the encouragement from the Scriptures. Now may God, who gives endurance and encouragement, allow you to live in harmony with one another. according to the command of Jesus Christ, so that you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ with a united mind and voice. That just spells it out so eloquently to us of go back into the Old Testament and see if you don't see Jesus Christ in practically every page of the Old Testament. It is God getting us ready for his answer for us to be with him, in eternity, and to always be his. So let's read in Joshua chapter 1, get started in Joshua chapter 1. It takes the first 11 verses, I think, really to get us going and to understand what they're doing. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, who had served Moses. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, you and all the people prepare to cross over the Jordan to the land that I am giving you, giving the Israelites. I have given you every place where the sole of your foot treads, just as I promised Moses. Your territory will be from the wilderness and Lebanon to the great Euphrates River, all the land of the Hittites, and west to the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you, just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance. Above all, be strong and very courageous to carefully observe the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to recite it day and night, so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. And then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get provisions ready for yourselves, for within 3 days you will be crossing the Jordan to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you to inherit. Arise and prepare for the quest of receiving what the Lord is giving. That sounds like, okay, I just read that out of the Old Testament. That is so New Testament. That is so 21st century. That is so where we're at. Arise and prepare for the quest of receiving what the Lord is giving us. Look at that word inheritance in the Hebrew. And it means to take possession of what I am giving you. It's easy. I mean, it's no trick in it. No twist. It's just basically, if I can even say it in Hebrew, Yahweh Elohim, noten larishta. It means just as it is done in Hebrew. The Lord God is giving you to receive. The Lord God is giving you to receive. That's what he told the people. That's what Joshua cried out to the people. That's what he got the people excited about. The Lord God is giving you to receive. The Israelites were about to face the challenge of their lives. They were now to cross over the river to begin their conquest of what was known as the Promised Land. Now get this, because this is vital. The Jordan River marked the last boundary. In their lives, in their history, in everything that they had been taught, in everything in their life, in everything in their ancestry, The Jordan River marked that last boundary between the wilderness where they had spent so much time and had been wandering for so long and the land that God had promised them. Why do I think this is so pertinent to what we're doing? Well, right now, we're going through a time of transitioning and strengthening and preparing every single thing that we can think of that needs to be tweaked or renewed or rethought or renovated. And after Christmas, we cross over into what God has called LBC to be. We've already caught sight of that. We've already started down that path. We're running toward that end of the year thing. We're running toward December because in the first of 2022, we're talking about 2022 is our proven time. 2022 is when we get to that place where we receive what God is promising us. The last hurdle. We've got everything ready. Crossover 2022. Now back to Joshua. Moses crossed the Red Sea, if you remember. What a mighty undertaking that was. That's fun just to go back to that story and understand these people were scared to death. And they had the Pharaohs coming at them from behind, and they were running from the enemy. When they crossed the Red Sea, it was a big deal because they were running from the enemy to escape. Here we've got Joshua that is preparing the people to cross the Jordan River. And they're not running from the enemy. Jordan River is much smaller. But if you really want to know the logistics of it, it was just as beautiful to watch, I'm sure, that if you were there. Because the Bible tells us basically as far as you could see that way and as far as you could see that way, it just dried up. As soon as the priest that carried the Ark of the Covenant stood into the what would be mud, they were on dry land. And as far as they could see that way, it was a built-up wall. And as far as they could see that way, it was a built-up wall. And they didn't have to run. They didn't have to panic. They didn't have to do anything because the panic they had already absorbed. Because they weren't running from the enemy. They were running to the enemy. They were going to face the enemy down. They were going to go stand toe-to-toe with the enemy. And so we have like two things that sound alike in our Bible reading, but two things that are really very, very different. The Red Sea and the crossing of the Jordan River. As soon as they got over to the other side of the Jordan River, it was on. Because Jordan River was the last boundary. It was time for them to receive everything that God had prepared for them. Army after army would come against the Israelites, threatening to absolutely wipe them off of the earth. And so they struggled like this for years. The question of loyalty to them was not even an option. They didn't get the people together. Joshua didn't get the people together and say, all right, now we got to hang together. We've got to be of one mind. We've got to be of one harmony. We've got to be of one soul here. Never. Because they were warriors. They were facing the enemy. And so the question of devotion, the question of loyalty, it wasn't optional. They were obligated to one another. The vision, the strategy, the purpose. The promised land could be conquered only if the people were 100% faithful. Devoted to the Lord 100%. Devoted to His team of people 100%. That's what the first chapter of Joshua is all about. Of getting those people ready to go in across that last hurdle and stand there and understand, if we've never been warriors before, we're warriors now. Because there's no going back. We've crossed over. And as we look at that, I know what I've got planned for the messages for the next 5 weeks. And I just want to let you know that you want to be here Sunday after next. Because Sunday after next, we are going to get to a point to where we see them, the Israelites, asking the same question that sometimes we ask in our most down moment. You got to be kidding. We come to God sometimes. I mean, you can kind of look down if you want to, but every one of us, I think, have come to a place in our life where we came to God and said, have you got to be kidding? Are you kidding? How in the world have you given me this thinking that I am supposed to handle this? God, you've given me this and I'm supposed to handle it? You come Sunday after next and let's see what the Israelites and Joshua come to face in that section that we're going to look at. Today, the promises of God. The promises of God that will endure anything. So I want to look at three priceless promises that God gave Joshua and the Israelites. Three priceless promises. And they're our promises. We just have to bring them into our context. The first one was this. There was always the promise of the promised land. It was the territory. It was the land. They were to lay hold of this land. They were to be the possessors of this land, and they split it up, and they divided it up, and they were to conquer this land. God himself gives the land to the people. However, it was their responsibility to go and to claim it by faith in the promise of God, God's gift, but they had to receive it. Now, if there's anybody here that has been thinking about, I need Jesus Christ in my life, and I know that from what I hear from going to church, that God has made a provision for us to have this work of Christ that is available to us, this matches what we're looking at here. This matches. Now, whatever we've come to call it, if that messes you up, I'm sorry. If that confuses things, I'm sorry. But I think it simplifies it here a little bit. God has gifted us with the work and the person of Jesus Christ. But it's our responsibility to receive that. As a matter of fact, Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10 tells us what we have to do. It's very easy. We just have to receive it. We have to believe that God is telling us the truth. We have to see Jesus Christ for what he is, that he has died to give us eternal life, and we have to take that. A lot of people call that accepting Christ. We have different terms. That's when we came to know Christ as our Savior. That's when we were saved. Whatever generation you're in, it seems that we have a different terminology for what we called that salvation experience, that experience that we have with Christ. But we have that same promise that we have been given the promised land. The second promise is this. He has conquered and will continue to conquer every enemy. You see that in Joshua chapter 5. This is an exact picture of us as successful, victorious believers. It's what's expected out of a believer's life, that we're expected to conquer the enemies that come up against us. As Israelites went forward, they would face opposition. They would face opposition from everywhere. There would be enemies that would wage real war. Now, some of us, we would share stories with one another. And the way we do it as humans in my time, the way we do it as humans in modern day, is that we wait for somebody to tell the story, and we usually say, well, I got one better than that. We do that. That's just us. That's just that competition in us, I guess. But it's nice to share stories of how God has delivered us out of different situations, how God has delivered us out of these battles that we've been in. But I don't think we can look at the Israelites and Joshua and not just say, look, these dudes face real war. I mean, there were some things that we're going to talk about this month that would scare anybody. War. Some things that were not just, okay, you know, they were not warriors to the point of, okay, let's get some good sleep tonight. We're waking up in the morning. We're going to take another enemy. They were not casual. They were not nonchalant. It was not one of those things that was that easy. The enemies would do everything they could to either enslave them or to kill them. And the enemies came in every manner of opposition. Us too. As we head forth into the rest of this year, into 2022, 2023, 2024, and we become, and we are, and we do what God has called us to do, we can go ahead and declare it right now, we're going to face opposition. We're going to face enemies. We're going to face problems. We're going to face hurdles. And those hurdles and those enemies and that opposition is going to come in the strangest places. They're going to come as something that we're not ready for. All the things that we can get ready for, something's going to come out of clear air, and it's going to be, whoa, we weren't ready for that. We weren't prepared for that. Same thing happened here with Joshua and the Israelites. The third promise is the promise of the continued and unbroken presence and rest of God. It's not just us getting to heaven, but us getting to fulfillment, us getting to understanding our purpose. The Israelites would defeat the enemies because of the very presence of God. Yes, they were strong warriors. They were told to be strong and courageous. They were mighty men and women of God. But the reason that they defeated every enemy that came their way was because of the presence of God. And he promised to be with them every step of the way. I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? That's not just Old Testament, that's New Testament. That's what Jesus tells us. That's what the Holy Spirit tells us. He told us when he gave us the Holy Spirit, I'm going to bring somebody to you so that you will never be alone. There will never be a time in your following me that you will be alone. You might feel alone. You might convince yourself you're alone, but you will not be alone. His consistent presence would guide them, now listen to this, to eventually win every battle. Now, hear this, and hear what's behind it, okay? Hear what I'm saying. Was God giving them sort of a magic wand where what he meant was, you see an enemy coming to you, do you just, started to do the Harry Potter thing, but whatever your magic word is, you know, whatever comes out, I'm not giving you something where I'm taking care of everything. I'm telling you, I am with you. I am your strength. I am what is doing this. But you know what? It's going to hurt sometimes. It's going to take some time sometimes. It's going to be battles. There are going to be battles that not only you learn from, but other people learn from. You're going to be victorious, but sometimes it's going to take blood, like we all say, blood, sweat, and tears. Sometimes we're going to feel like we've been in a battle. Sometimes we're going to barely make it home to wherever our rest place is. And God's going to pat us and say, rest, my child. Good job. You were like a champ out there today. You handled them like they were kids. Good job. God is that kind of God. God doesn't hand out magic wands. He hands out victory. Victory that is ours to take. What a promise we can claim. No matter what an enemy does, no matter what trial comes our way, no matter what temptations we face, no matter how much trouble comes our way, the difficulty of it, the size of it, the strength of it, the destructive power of it, God will always be there with us. So whatever it is that you face in your life on this very day, there's a new favorite song that I've got. Lisa introduced it to me. It's going to be a choir song after a while. It ain't over till God says it's over. Can I get an amen on that? It ain't over until God says it's over. And so whatever it is that we are fighting, whatever it is that we have going on in our life, God gave this forceful command to the Israelites, be strong and very courageous. And then he repeated it over and over. Well, Christ left us with a responsibility. He left us with the responsibility to go and claim the nations for him. He gave us a big deal. He didn't say, hey, Chip, you and the rest of them, I want you just to go out there and you know that little, neighborhood that's building up around your church, I want you to reach them for Christ. It's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, the nations. You affect the nations. We got a lot to do. A calling from God, a gift from God, a purpose for our life. But we are mandated to literally lay claim on that. We can't sit around in the church on a Sunday and expect that that's getting it done, because it's not getting it done. He's told us to go. You know, I wish sometimes that he would have said, come to the church and just do your thing, and I'll bring all the people that are sinners there for some reason. They don't even know what reason they're coming for. They'll just come. No, he said for you to go and for you to receive, conquer, evangelize the world. So we're warriors, and it's up to us to claim his promises. We'll be in many battles. We'll be in many skirmishes, but there is always a pathway to victory. We also have the promise of his rest. Not only ultimately, I mean, we've already talked about heaven. Not only ultimately do we have his promise of rest, but now he tells us that we can enter into a reality of fulfillment. We can enter into a reality of surety, of confidence, of encouragement, of strength. Fear and discouragement we see in Joshua chapter 1 can only be conquered as we exercise the exact opposite. Fear and discouragement is put away by strength and courage. So we must stand strong and courageous. No matter how many crushing problems or tough situations or difficult people or whatever the trials or temptations that come our way may be. Let me read to you Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. We've got that, don't we, Steve? Ephesians chapter 10, verses 10 through 13. Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. This is why you must take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having prepared everything. Okay, if you're irritated, there it is. Having prepared everything to take your stand. That's what we've been called to do. That's where we are. That's what God has called us to do. We've been given commands and promises that are unique to us. We've been given a building that is unique to us. Years ago, I'm sure somebody understood the need for this, but even in that time, 11 or 12 years ago, there was not a full understanding of what this piece of land would be for. It was for reaching the world. It was for reaching things. But 12 years ago, it's hard for us to picture exactly what God has in store for us. We have a work in front of us that we can't even imagine right now. Bad. Good news, bad news. Bad news. We'll face opposition that we can't even imagine right now. Back to good news. We'll enter rest and fulfillment that we can't even imagine right now. And so this thing with God and following God, it is what we do. That favorite verse of a lot of ours in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory. Because whatever God is doing with us, he is doing with us beyond our understanding. We want to end our time tonight, this morning. And I feel like I've been preaching so long it's already night. There are people here with us that need prayer. There are people here sitting in the seat. And we need to pray for one another. And we're not going to let the opportunity to pray for one another, as we begin to talk about what God really is doing in these last months over the next few weeks. We're not going to miss the opportunity to pray for one another, because prayer is our lifeline. And that same song that I was talking about, it's just a piece of it that says somebody here needs an answer. Chris, I'm going to ask you to do something for me, because that song that you ended up with was perfect for what we need to sing now. So if you get with Steve and you guys come on up, and we'll sing it through, because God wants to help somebody this morning. God wants you to know that you don't have to be in that place that you're at right now. That doesn't, I'm not calling filthy, rotten sinners. I'm calling people that feel trapped. I'm calling for people that feel like everything's given up on you, that you're at a place where there's no hope. And I want you to know that that's Satan, that is the enemy, that the song that I said, it ain't over. And so whatever it is that's got you, that's going on in your life right now, that's got you feeling like, I don't understand how I'm going to come out of this. I don't understand. You guys wouldn't believe, like, really over the last few months, of the people that come up after service and say, "Chip, I just want to talk to you for a second because I was at my rope's end, and something that was said today helped me to see that I'm not." I don't want anybody here to leave this place at your rope's end. I don't want anybody here to leave thinking that this is it, that you're finished, that it's done. So we're going to sing. You guys, come on up. Come on out, let's sing. Somebody needs a victory. Somebody needs to turn whatever situation you've got going into a victory. And so I'm going to ask you to be courageous. I'm going to ask you to do something that we've not yet done, because I always say, let everybody stand up. But I want you, if you need somebody to pray for you, now we all need prayer. So when you get up here, we're going to pray for you, but I hope you're praying for us at the same time. So I just want you, if you're at a situation where you want prayer this morning, just stand up, come on up here and stand at the front. If you need prayer this morning, you go ahead and be the courageous one. Stand up, come up to the front, and we will gather around you and pray for you. Anybody that needs prayer this morning, anybody that's at that place to where you're like, I want some people to pray for me. I need prayer this morning. Come on and we'll pray for you. We're waiting on you. You're going to miss it. You're going to miss it because God didn't intend for you to stay where you think you're supposed to stay this morning. All right, I'm going to give you some ease. I'm going to get everybody to stand up. That means it's a little bit easier for you to come on up here and let us pray for you. All right, we're going to pray. Waiting on you. Thank you, brother. Waiting on you. We're going to eat in a minute. You're going to eat in a minute, and you're going to say, "Man, I wished I would have gone up there and had them pray for me." All right, here's the deal, because sometimes we don't realize our needs until we start praying for other people. So some people come up here and let's pray for these. Let's gather around these three people and start praying for them. Now, surely I've got some people that will come up here and pray for these people. Okay, so let's pray for these that have come here. I know of some situation. I know my wife's situation. I know of some situations. So we're going to pray. Why don't you guys just go ahead and sing that song? And that way it'll give them time to pray. It'll give people time to come on up if they need to, because that song speaks to us. Come on if you need prayer. We need no other hiding place. God may have brought you here because he didn't want you to stay where you're at. Father, we thank you so very much for your goodness. We thank you for your strength. We thank you for your promises. Father, for every person that has come to that point of just saying, "Yeah, this is a time in my life that I'm facing a lot." And Lord, I pray for them. I pray for every person that seems to think that this is just something they can't get over. And so, Lord, I pray, because I've been at that situation so many times myself, and I pray that there will always be somebody there for me to pray with me and to pray that through with me. But Father, I thank you that you are the Lord that breaks our chains, that you are the Lord that gives us victory. And so, Father, I pray that as we together as a congregation, Lord, for these that came forward very first and said, "Look, I need something. I'm at a situation where I need the hand of God on my life. I need him to either make it go away or give me the strength and the courage to continue through this battle that I'm going through. And so, Father, I just praise you and I thank you that every one of us that can call ourselves a child of God through Jesus Christ, we know that we eventually win the battles. And Lord, we know that we eventually win the whole war. But I pray for everybody in this room right now. Lord, I pray for the ones that were just kept away from being prayed for, just for this instance kept away. Help them to see that there's no magic in that, that as we sit down for lunch, it's very easy to look over at somebody and say, you know what, I missed it. Can you pray for me? And for us just praying and lifting each other up, I thank you that we can be brothers and sisters that way. Lord, for every need that has been lifted up this morning, for every struggle that has been lifted up, for every chain that has been rattled this morning, for every connection or everything that holds us down, I pray that you would help us to see that that was not put there by you. And we can be victorious. We are victorious. We are more than conquerors. And so, Father, I pray that you would just let us see that as we head forward with every piece of our life. Lord, especially as a church, that we would stop seeing this church as defeated, that we would stop seeing this church as something that God wrote off, that God is not doing his work in, that there must be problems, there must be a situation, there must be an issue. Lord, help us to see it that you are getting your way done. You're getting your plan out there. And so, Father, as we enter into these next years, that we would be and do and perform those things that you want us to do. Yes, Lord, we claim your grace, that we are saved, that we don't need to add anything to it, that we are in heaven just as soon as we lay down this body. But you have given us such a great work to do that we have to be determined that we're going to fight those battles and win those wars and take this world for you, take the nations for you, take Lincoln for you, take Christchurch for you, take New Zealand for you. And Father, we'll never do it if we keep hearing that we can't do it. I pray that you would take us and let us just keep us, just shield us from that negativity of we can't do it because we can do it. And Lord, it's not for our glory. It's not so people will say, oh, look at that church. They're doing it. It is for your glory. And so, Father, I pray that as you bring people into our church, that they will understand we need to check the arrogance at the door because humility is what we need here. To understand that it's your presence within us. It's your presence with us that makes us anything. So, Father, I pray that we would continue to hold up Jesus Christ, that we would continue to worship you and to honor you and to praise you. And we ask for your blessings, Lord. We ask for you to pour out blessings upon this church so that people will see that if they come here, they can get the simple answers. We love you, we praise you, we thank you. We pray that you would take us to our different homes, Lord, as we get together for our meal, Lord. Help us to have harmony there. And as we head back to the house this morning, Lord, I pray that you would just take us there with an extra bounce in our step. We love you, we thank you, we praise you, we honor you. You are our God. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And all of God's people said amen. Amen.